Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll get that today, and it's three times in the scriptures. So just just as a reminder. So let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you. We can meet. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for reminding us in your word, in some cases over and over again, of your truths. And Lord, one time would be sufficient, you would think, but yet we need to hear it over and over again. And on the other hand, Lord, help us not through familiarization say, oh, I know that verse. I don't have to listen. I know that. Well, maybe we do know it, but is it really part of our lives, Lord? Or is it just a fact we have tucked away in our brain and we can say, I understand that, but I really don't do it. And so, Lord, we have the obedience aspect, not just to know it, but we need to do it. And so help us in that this morning as we go back to this special day, the day we call the birthday of the church, the day that the Spirit was poured out on every believer. That day which really, I think, begins the definition of the last days. So, Lord, help us to glean from the sermon here, which Peter will make, and even as we think of the transformation in his life, who just a few weeks earlier, there in front of these accusers and all, denied you three times, Lord Jesus. But now the Spirit has been poured out in John 20:21, as you would breathe on the disciples, the apostles, I guess we should say in a way. I don't think it was all the disciples, but at least on 12 of the disciples or 11 of the disciples. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you say be filled with the Holy Spirit, that happens. It's not just may happen, it happens. Now Peter, filled with the Spirit, is bold. You're going to speak through him. And what an altar call in a way. We call it that this day. There'll be 3,000 people responding. And so it's not Peter's sermon in terms of the man, but it's the Holy Spirit being poured out. So we want to be conscious of the Holy Spirit that is in each of us. You're in each of us, Holy Spirit. And help us to be aware of that, and help us to really call on you, and help us to listen to you. And as you convict us, help us to respond to that conviction. So we thank you this morning as we enter into the first part of Peter's sermon here in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Guide us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, just reading the text for today, we're going to cover 8 verses, beginning with, we went through verses 1 through 13 of Acts chapter 2 last week, and seeing the Spirit poured out, and it set on each one's head as a flame of fire, not that it was fire, but it looked like that, showing that it was on each one, not just on a few people, but on each one. I believe those were primarily the people from the upper room in that particular portion of the scripture. But now I think we move on outside a little bit, and we read in verse 14, but Peter, I like the word but, it's always like a 180 degree turn, or at least a significant change, so this is going to be good news. We had the Spirit poured out, but then what happens? But Peter standing with the 11. Now what does that tell you, standing with the 11? How many is 11 plus Peter? So what does that say about Matthias?
He's there.
He's there.
Huh? It would seem to me, because you can't get a straw vote in the first chapter of Acts, but that does tell us that I think he's accepted. Now, who's going to be on the 12 gates of the 12 foundations in the new city? I think we're going to have to run around and see. I don't think Apostle Paul is going to be forgotten, but he's not one of the original 12, apparently, so... Well, he's not. Anyway, Matthias wasn't either. Original 12 included Judas, but he's gone. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice. Notice he's not whispering. Raise his voice. Listen up. And said to them, "Men of Judea and all." Notice the word "all" here. We got a lot of "alls" in these passages, and we need to pay attention to them. I think all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. So, you with me so far? For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Now, when the Spirit was poured out, and all of these people started speaking in dialects, but they all had they were all a Galileans, and they couldn't have even known what these dialects were, unknown dialects, and well, they were dialects, so, but people that are there from these regions where the dialect was in, they say, how can this be? These people are all speaking in these tongues, and then these people must be, well, they're drunk. They're drunk. That's what's happening here. And you know, when the Spirit moves, it is kind of a, looks kind of like you've lost your mind in a way, but notice this is on the Feast of Shavuot. Particularly on a feast day, you would never drink, and the Jews would never drink early in the morning. That was forbidden. So there's no way on a feast day, especially, and in the morning especially, it would ever be drinking. So Peter says, these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's the third hour of the day. So did you ever wonder why he's talking about the third hour of the day? That's like 9 in the morning. And so 9 in the morning. Now, on the feast days, they would get up early, and they would always begin with breakfast. And, of course, you wouldn't have any wine with breakfast ever, but you wouldn't certainly on the feast day. So they're not drunk. He says the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So there you have it. This is a repeat of the prophecy given to them by Joel. Now, when did Joel speak this? 800-plus years before. So this goes back now, what, 2,800 years ago, something like that? Plus, I think it's about 800-plus anyway. So this what was spoken by Joel, and here's the quote. And it shall come to pass in the last days. So when are the last days? I already mentioned it a little bit earlier. I believe this begins the last days. The Pentecost begins the last days, and it's still going on today. We've had a last days here of over 2,000 years, or maybe not over, but about, what, it was 1994 years, or something like that, when this probably happened. So in the last days, it shall come to pass. So does that mean past or present or future? Come, it shall come to pass. That's future, right? It shall come to pass in the last days. So this is what's going to happen now in these last days, starting with Pentecost and going forward, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now, what does all flesh mean? Well, it means all flesh, but it doesn't necessarily mean all at once. Has the Spirit been poured out on Israel really yet today? Not really. I don't think it'll happen until at the end of the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, we know that 2/3 of the Jews will have been killed. But the 1/3 that remain, I think all of them will come to know the Lord. I think that's when they will recognize, they'll look on me whom they have pierced. And I think that's when that part of it is going to be. But the baby that is born today, that later becomes a believer, will then have the Holy Spirit in them, right? So it's a continuing thing. None of us were born on the day of Pentecost, but we all have the Spirit in us, right? So this is what's happening here. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now notice this. This is significant for you women particularly. Your sons and your daughters. And you think, well, why not sons and daughters? Well, at that time, it would never be daughters included. Females weren't included. They were not thought to be equal at all. And Jesus comes along and says, male, female, Scythian, slave, or free, meaning slaves or kings or whatever, all equal spiritually in the sight of God. Your sons and your daughters, that would have been amazing to the Jewish hearers. They shall prophesy. So what's the purpose of this now? Why would the Spirit be poured out? Well, here's the first one. Shall prophesy. Now, what does prophesy mean? It really means, in this case, to proclaim the truth. Proclaim the truth. It could mean giving prophecy in terms of what hasn't happened, but that's not what the main word here really means. It's not giving something that hasn't happened. It means to proclaim it. Now, do you have the Spirit in you?
Yes.
Are you proclaiming the truth? Okay. That's why the Spirit is in you. And it says you shall proclaim. It doesn't say that if you have gone to seminary, it doesn't say that if you have come faithfully to Saturday morning prayer for the last 27 years, it means that you have the Spirit in you, you shall proclaim. Now, you might want to pull a Moses here and say, well, you're to proclaim the truth if you're a believer, right? In the way that God would have you to proclaim it. Now, it's primarily, I think, in non-words. I think it's in our life. I think we're to be that living sacrifice to Him. Because if we don't have Him in our lives, I don't care what words you use, they're not going to mean anything, right? Because more of people will much more watch who you are and what you are than what you say. So you shall proclaim that, but that's one of the purposes here. They shall proclaim or prophesy, and then some additional things here. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, there again we have. Now, who are the servants to the Jews in this setting? Jews or Gentiles? Gentiles. Jews couldn't serve Jews. Only Gentiles could serve Jews. So there's part of the belief of some people that this is only for the Jews. Well, it's not. This is for the men servants and the maid servants. So you got the Gentiles included there. And I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, additionally, this hasn't really happened yet to the total degree. I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. When is that going to happen, or has it happened? Well, we're in the end times. It's going to happen in the Great Tribulation, is it not?
Yes.
Which, of course, is in Revelation. You're right there. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Then the sun shall be turned into darkness. Now, that obviously happened at the time of the cross. We know that. But we also shall know the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, when is that? When's the coming of the great awesome day of the Lord? First coming or second coming?
Second
coming. Now, that hasn't happened yet, has it?
No.
No, so this is still future now. So this prophecy is for the past, present, and future. We can see this. Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what has to happen for a person to be saved here? What does that say? They got to call on the name of the Lord, right? Isn't that what it says? It shall come to pass that whoever, now whoever is not exclusive, is it? Whoever. It doesn't say that the Jews that call upon the Lord shall be saved, or the Gentiles, or any other category. It says whoever. I mean, the category is a category. It said whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what happens when a person calls on the name of the Lord? Who is behind that? The Holy Spirit, right? Now, we have, even as an unbeliever, we have a little bit of attenuation by our spirit, or we couldn't be saved in the first place. But when we are saved, when we're born again, then we have a huge magnification of the Holy Spirit in our ability to hear, in our ability to respond, and so forth, right? Because we're born again. We got a new heart. We got total transformation here in the spiritual sense. The scripture says, without the Spirit, the Bible is foolishness to those, right? So you couldn't understand the scripture without the Holy Spirit. That's why when we witness to people who are unsaved, you can read them, say, simple scriptures like John 3:16. And you can ask them, generally speaking, you can ask them, what does that mean? They say, I don't know. It doesn't mean anything to me. And I'm sure you probably experienced that. But oh, what a difference when you are filled with the Spirit. Then the scripture comes alive, doesn't it? Comes alive. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I made a few other comments in here and some other scriptures. If you want to read through them, you can find some references and so forth that are helpful possibly. But that's the main thing that we've already touched upon as we go through. And just looking at the notes a little bit at the end of that, purpose of God would be fulfilled to whom? Every man, woman, and child, male or female. Why? God's going to fulfill his promises to Abraham. This is the day of opportunity, the day of open door for the Gentiles. God is going to do this by the Holy Spirit. So I think most of us in here are Gentiles, and aren't we thankful for what God has done to the Gentiles this last 2,000 years and what he's done to us? None of us are 2,000 years old, but we all have a history of the same thing of being born again and having the Spirit in us. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what I mentioned. We should thank God that in his grace and love, he so graciously meets us as to cause us to desire him. Nobody can come to the Lord on their own. They've got to be called. They've got to be summoned by the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's the case, and God wants to call everybody, I mean, God wants to save everybody, why are not all saved? And we kind of need to remember this in our prayers, because so often we say, you got to do this, Lord. You got to do that, Lord. You got to save this country. You got to save that lost person. And that's what we want so much in our heart. But realistically, he's already done it all. Didn't Jesus say on the cross, it is finished? All the redemptive work is done. But God in his plan has given us free choice, right? And he must honor those free choices. So if my choice is to say, I don't want any part of you, Lord. I don't want any part of you, God. God is going to honor that choice. He's not going to force you into loving him. Because heaven is prepared for those who love him, right? So it's just such a beautiful plan when we look at it in total, although we want all to be saved so much that we kind of sometimes just want to cut the corner a little bit and say, Lord, you just make them be saved. Well, in one way, that's true, because you can't be saved unless he does make you be saved. But he still has given us free choice. So what he's going to do is honor the choice in the very best way he can. But if you're obdurate and say you don't want any part of it and take your last breath, where are you going? You're going into darkness, because you're still in the kingdom of darkness. Because there's only two kingdoms, right? Kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And there's no in between. You're either in with both feet or you're not in at all, right? You can't have one in each one. So that's where we are there. You know that. So whoever will call on his name will be saved. And only Christ can save you. So the question is then, are you willing? Have we fallen on our faces crying out to us, be merciful to me, Lord, a sinner? I need you. I want you. Be my Savior and Lord forever. And so that's where we are. So, Father, we thank you for the day of Pentecost. We thank you for Spirit being poured out. We thank you for the provision that you've made for fallen man to be restored, to be reconciled back to you, and that there's no limit to that. There's none that that does not apply to. So, Lord, all can be saved. But we know you will honor free choice, Lord. And if we choose is to reject you, and we do not change that decision until our last breath, then we have chosen to be apart from you eternally. And so, Lord, we pray this morning, as you would lead us by your Spirit, how do we pray for a lost world? How do we pray for lost people? How do we pray for your will to be done in our lives? And we know it all, in a way, comes back to the reason we're here, is we're here to proclaim the good news. We're here to tell others about you. And so, Lord, maybe that's mostly in prayer, but it certainly includes, as you put them in our hearts or as you put them in our path, to proclaim the good news as we are powered and empowered by the Spirit. So lead us now, as we have these moments each week, to spend a few moments together in prayer and in one accord as you would lead us. Help us, Lord, we ask in your mighty name. Yes, Lord, I thank you for the reminder again this morning of the Holy Spirit and the importance of Pentecost. And Lord, I thank you. It would be 7 years ago at the end of this month that many churches opened up in COVID on the day of Pentecost, and we see how you have blessed them so tremendously. And I pray as we are approaching Pentecost again this year that every shepherd will be aware of the importance of that time and would be stressing that, and stressing that in the life of every believer, and certainly in the life of every fellowship, Lord, for the reliance and the importance of the power of the Holy Spirit and what you have demonstrated there in what we've just been studying right now in Acts chapter 2 of the day of Pentecost, when for the first time ever the Spirit was poured out on every believer. And not just to be poured out for a season or for a day or for an hour, but forever. And such a blessing, Lord. And to try to do anything without the Spirit is just so fruitless. And yet too many churches are not even emphasizing the Spirit. They're emphasizing works and all kinds of things. Anyway, Lord, I just pray for the correct emphasis on the whole counsel of God, which tells us throughout the Scriptures of the importance of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so I do pray for the church to wake up in this nation, Lord. We are really way down the list as far as fervent, Spirit-filled churches, Lord. And where there's no choice, where there's just desperation in these areas around that we talk about, Lord, they just have you. That's all they have. They don't have a lot of anything else, but they have everything. And Lord, I can't help but thinking every time we meet from Saturday to Saturday, there's been another 15,000 or so babies murdered in that 7-day period. And we are so concerned about the loss of a life, we think, in this nation, and yet every day over 2,000 are aborted day in and day out, and that's such an abomination to you, Lord. The sanctity of life is so forgotten, and we say, forgive us, and yet nothing changes every week, maybe more than that with the pill out now, and so, Lord, it is such an abomination. So we come against that. We come against homosexuality, another total abomination in your word, and so approved, and even the challenge of male, female, and the gender thing, and so wrong. And so these wrong things we come against in the name of Jesus, and we pray to overcome it with good. And Lord, not just to drive the evil out. Yes, we want to see the evil driven out. How is that driven out? It's by turning on your love, and all of our problems are around the world and certainly in this nation have been because we've turned away from you. And whenever a nation turns away from you, bad things happen. Always has, always will. And so, Lord, I thank you for the good things that are going on. I thank you for the so many more. When did we ever read all the way through the Bible, which we did last week, including some of our government officials and all. But it's more than just that. It's more than just reading one time and that's it. But anyway, we thank you for that. We thank you for the monthly gatherings to worship you in the Pentagon, never before done. We thank you for the many Bible studies going on at a never before done. We thank you for the studies and the prayer going on in the House of Representatives there, which has never been done before. So we've got godly people cause godly things to be able to be brought into fulfillment, and we thank you for that. And I especially lift up Mike Johnson and Hegseth and others, but especially those two have been very instrumental in things happening in the group. In one case, the House of Representatives, the other case, in the Defense Department. And then all of the others that are doing whatever they're doing, whether they're working in this area or that. We thank you for the godly leaders that you have put in right now, and we pray for them.
Yes.
And we pray for fruitfulness, Lord, and we know that elections will be coming up again in a couple of months, June, I guess, but it's not even a couple of months, May, June, July. We're already into May this week, Lord. So we pray that, we pray against all of that seed sown for the godlessness that is so prevalent in so many, particularly what we call the blue states or the liberal side, Lord. It is so far from you. And so I pray for turning to you in Jesus' name. Well, Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. We thank you for reminding us again of the scriptures there at the time of your death, your resurrection, and your ascension, and now the day of Pentecost, Lord. As we close today, maybe we just sing through song for you to fill us with the Holy Spirit. So let us stand and sing together if we might. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.